Many of you already know I grew up in the country, and one of the things we always did was to have a pretty big garden. And we had a variety of things in the garden. In fact, I saw one of my cousins this past week, and she was telling me what they had put out in their early garden. Had a real variety of things. Now, there were parts of that experience of gardening that I really liked, and there were parts of that experience of gardening that I really hated. The part that I really hated involved picking up rocks. We lived on a rocky old hillside. And any time my dad wanted to punish me or to just get rid of me for a while, he would send me out to pick up rocks. Well, believe me, there is nothing fun about picking up rocks. You pick up a bucket of rocks, you bring them, you throw them on the rock pile, and by the time you get back, there are twice as many rocks as there were when you started. I think that was our most prolific crop all around, rocks. I hated it. I still do. I'm very glad that Jesus didn't say the kingdom of God is like picking up rocks. I probably wouldn't be standing here if he had said that. But there were parts that I liked and liked a lot. For example, when you take several kernels of corn and you put them in the ground and you heal the dirt up around them and you water it and you make sure the weeds, you can take a hoe and make sure the weeds don't grow up around it. If you wait long enough, you'll see a tiny little sprout come up. And day by day, it gets a little bigger and a little taller. It's not like Jack and the Beanstalk. It doesn't grow up all at once overnight. It takes days and weeks. But after a period of time, that kernel that basically died in the earth grew up into a stalk of corn that was taller than I was. And when you pulled the ears off, there were hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of corn kernels just like those I had planted. I recognized as a child that that was a miracle. Sometimes we become so used to these things, we don't recognize how miraculous they are. That you can plant a tiny seed, and that seed essentially dies to give birth to and grow something like itself. And that grows up, and you get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of others like that seed you originally planted. It is a miracle. Jesus is talking to his disciples about what it's like to be a part of what God is doing in the world. He calls it the kingdom of God. Okay? And even though Jesus is not a farmer, Jesus is a builder. He's a tecton, okay? He builds stuff. Here he doesn't say taking part in what God is doing in the world is like building a house. No, he says taking part in what God is doing in the world is like planting seeds. And then you go about your business. You sleep and you go about your daily lives, and day by day you come back, and the miracle of the thing is God has given growth to these seeds you planted. Now, you can help it along, but you're not in control of the process. God is in charge of the process. And pretty soon, you have enough that you harvest the multiplicity of things that have grown from that tiny little seed. And like that corn kernel, Jesus says, if you plant a seed as tiny as a mustard seed, and in that time, that would have been the tiniest seed that he would have been familiar with. If you plant even something that tiny, a huge plant will grow out of it, just like that corn stalk growing out of those kernels. A plant that's as big as a tree so that the birds can come and roost in it. That's what it's like when we take part in what God is doing in the world. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jesus as poet, Jesus using metaphor and simile to talk about what God is doing. And this is Jesus using them extraordinarily well. He spoke to them in parables. Parable comes from the Greek term, which means to throw one thing down next to another, which is exactly what a metaphor or a simile is. a comparison. And so, Jesus is talking about how we grow as disciples. And we're not in charge or in control of that process. But with God's help, we do grow in our faith. This past week, we had annual conference at Brentwood United Methodist Church. We had, I thought, a very good conference. We elected delegates to go to our general conference and our jurisdictional conferences. And we did a great deal of business. We had Bible studies. We had other studies. We had worship. And throughout that time, occasionally you would hear mentioned the mission statement of the United Methodist Church. Now, those of you who've been around for a while know that we have a mission statement here. That mission statement says that we are to be the loving light of Christ, connecting others to God and to their neighbors so that God can transform individual lives and communities. That's our local church vision / mission statement. But there's another overarching statement that is in the discipline that is quoted frequently at Methodist meetings. The vision mission statement of the United Methodist Church is that we make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, it probably won't surprise you that I'm about to quibble with one of the words in the discipline. I've done it before. It may surprise you which word I'm about to quibble with, however. I don't think we make disciples. I don't think anyone makes a disciple as you would construct a house, as you would make an automobile or a refrigerator or a stove. Now, if you go back to the original word for make, poiesis, it's the same word from which we get poetry, okay? Now, that kind of making I can understand because actually Jesus is talking in parable and metaphor here. But we've lost that sense of making altogether. My fear is that when we say we're making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, we have in our minds a manufacturing process, an assembly line, like the one Henry Ford came up with, like the one that's been a part of our industrial work ever since. And in a way, we think in those terms, don't we? When you're baptized, like Charles Brannan, you go on the conveyor belt, right? And then you go through nursery, and then you go through first grade station, and second grade station, third grade station, fourth, fifth, and sixth is confirmation, and you come out at the end of confirmation a disciple. We've made a disciple. We've manufactured one, right? But we all know it doesn't work that way. As important as every one of those stages is, Charles Brannan is already a disciple. As of today, we have acknowledged God's claim on his life. And so he's not just getting on the conveyor belt. He is a seed that has been planted. And the seed of God's love has been planted in him just like it has in each and every one of us. And over time, it's our job to nurture that seed, to help with what God is doing. You see, there are a couple of problems with the manufacturing metaphor. First of all, when you manufacture something, you're in control of the process, right? There is a quality control that goes on, and you are in control at each step along the way to make sure that when you get to the end of the assembly line, every single automobile, refrigerator, whatever, looks exactly like every other one. Doesn't work that way with disciples. All you have to do is look around to see the physical variety of disciples we have in the room at the moment, right? We don't all turn out the same. Thank God. That was God's intention that we not turn out all the same. And we are not in control of the process. That too is God's intention. Like the person in Jesus' parable, we plant seeds and we go about our lives and we do what we can to cultivate them, but it is God who gives that growth in all of us. A second problem with the manufacturing image is that there is an end to it. Once you are manufactured as an automobile or a stove or a refrigerator, you don't grow anymore. You are what you will be. You get used, you get used up, and you get discarded. But that's not the way it works with disciples. Because you see, this discipleship that begins actually before we are baptized with God's claim on our lives never ends. You know how many people we have in this congregation who are in their 90s and some of them past 100 who are still growing as disciples? You can name some of those names, can't you? I won't start naming them in this congregation because I'll leave somebody out. But you know. I will name a colleague and friend who died this past year. Ben Alexander lived well into his 90s, was a pastor, taught a Bible class every week up to the week before his death. And he was not satisfied with simply repeating what he had taught before. He was constantly reading. He was constantly learning. He was constantly challenging himself. He was challenging his class. He was growing as a disciple. You see, I don't think that stops with death. I think when we die and are no longer encumbered with this body and these senses, that we grow in intimacy with God and continue our growth as disciples in that process. In fact, Jesus says, unless a seed dies, the plant cannot grow. And so what Jesus is talking about is a way of being involved in what God is doing in the world that we don't control. There is no end to it, but we do participate in it. And our job is to help cultivate all those seeds that have come our way so that each of us, as seeds, with God's love germinating inside us, can grow into the disciples, the various disciples that we are meant to be. Have you read our welcome statement? It says a little something about why we value this variety. This is not like agribusiness where we keep turning out the same crop year after year after year and depleting the land, having to replace it with chemical fertilizer. No. We practice crop rotation in the United Methodist Church. Now, part of that is preacher rotation. You might consider that fertilizer rotation, right? Or some would say manure rotation. But we also know that people come and go in congregations. And we don't look for sameness. We look for and value the diversity, like a field of flowers, different colors, different varieties. Listen to what we say about ourselves. Everyone is welcome at West End. We are all seeds that God is planting in this garden. We seek to be the loving light of Christ in Nashville and beyond. We gather as the people of God with a wide range of religious backgrounds, education levels, political and theological perspectives, and we value that diversity. We are not trying to turn out cars that all look the same or the same crop year after year after year. We are intentional about being diverse. We welcome and celebrate the gifts God has given to all without regard to gender, race, sexual orientation, economic or family status, ethnicity, or mental or physical ability, or so on and so forth, all of those categories that we may not have thought of. We believe God loves everyone unconditionally. Each of us is a seed, and West End is the garden. I'm not the gardener. I'm just one more seed. Jesus is the gardener. He is the one who showed us how to live into what God is doing in the world, how to grow into what God is doing in the world. He is our example. And how do we grow? Not overnight. It's not immediate, but it is miraculous, just like that corn kernel that turns into a stalk and lots of ears of corn. It is miraculous. We are the garden all together. We are the seeds, and we're called to nurture one another, inch by inch and row by row. That's how God makes this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a little nurturing around the edges and a piece of fertile ground. That's us. That's this church. Inch by inch and row by row, God will bless these seeds we sow, already has. God will warm them from below, and God will send the rain tumbling down. Thanks be to God.